For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Cloudy with a Chance of Podcast with WHIO meteorologist McCall Rydags and Kirsty Zontini. Remember, you can listen to Cloudy with a Chance of Podcast anytime you want on Apple iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and WHIO.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cloudy with a Chance of Podcast. I'm meteorologist Kirsty Zontini. Our chief meteorologist, McCall Rydags, is out of town this week, and we miss her, but we will have her back for the next episode, so don't forget to stay tuned. Now, this week, you can see next to me, we have a special guest, and it is Tyler Stevenson from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. Ohio, in my opinion, fall in Ohio is one of my most favorite times. I think we just have such a beautiful season. Even if we don't have the most perfect fall color season or the leaves drop quickly, doesn't matter because we always get fall color. I learned recently just how many species of trees we have in Ohio, which makes sense why we get so many beautiful different colors. And now that it's the beginning of October, we're recording this, it's October 8th, you know, we are really starting to get into some good fall color here in the Miami Valley. And really, whether you're here locally or maybe you're going to travel to the northern part of the state and do a little hiking or travel further south and maybe do some kayaking, you know, there's a lot of safe outdoor activities you can do with just your family and stay socially distant. And that's why I thought Tyler would be really great to have on. Welcome back, Tyler. You have been our ODNR fall leaf expert for, I want to say this is the third podcast, I think. This may be year three.
Yes, I believe so. And I'm very happy to join you again this year. I enjoy these podcast sessions. They're great.
Awesome. Well, in the past, we've been able to be outside or you've been in the studio, but this year is a little different. Obviously, we are doing a Zoom conference call. So whether you're listening to us or watching this video, you know, we are staying further apart. So let's talk a little bit first just about how has COVID impacted the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, what you guys do and your resources every, you know, it's not just fall that you guys are out and about and doing your jobs. So just quickly, what is it exactly you do for ODNR? And then how has maybe your policies or your day-to-day job changed a little?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm the Urban Forestry Program Manager for ODNR. And we have a network of six regional urban foresters around the state that provide assistance to municipalities in developing and enhancing their tree programs in their communities. So we've been able to continue our services, whether it's been through Zoom meetings, going to tree commission meetings on Zoom or other platforms, or doing some site visits, whether it's one-on-one with people, keeping the social distance, wearing masks, things like that. We've been able to continue our service with our clients, with our communities throughout the state. So we've been pretty consistent throughout the whole COVID thing. And along with the rest of ODNR have been able to find their niches, and the folks in the department have been able to meet the needs of our state, of our citizens through different avenues. We actually recently just had a month-long webinar series. We typically do in-person six regional urban forestry conferences throughout the state. We weren't able to do that this year, so we went all online with it and had a month-long webinar series with 250 people showing up at every one. We had presenters from around the country. It was nice to be able to get world-class presenters without having to worry about travel or anything like that. So that was a great benefit to the webinar series. So yeah, it's been good so far. We'll just keep plugging away and keep going after our mission in making sure that our communities have the assistance they need in regards to their urban forestry programs.
That's awesome. Explain a little bit, if somebody is like, urban forestry, what does that mean? What does that mean? Like, what exactly are you doing with our different municipalities?
Yeah, that's another good question. It's one of those words where people are like, urban forestry? What? I don't see any forests in the urban area.
Right.
But when you think about it, every tree you see out of your office window or out of the trees in your front yard or your backyard or the trees lining your street, mm-hmm, or in the park down the street, all those trees make up the urban forest. So when you look at a city from above, you can see that there's a canopy of trees covering a lot of the city. And that is so beneficial to urban inhabitants, everyone that lives in urban areas. Having those trees filter pollutants out of the air, filter pollutants out of the soil and water, it's important to have those trees near us in urban environments to not only increase our health, but our mental, our physical health, and also our mental health as well. They're just so important for that. And to properly manage them is the way to get the most benefits out of them.
Right.
So encouraging and helping and assisting communities to meet that management level, that proper management level of city trees, which are the ones that line the streets and in the parks, yeah. is very important to our citizens. And we feel that it's a quality of life issue for us. So increasing the quality of life for all Ohioans is our mission for assisting our communities.
Your program is one of those, it's like a sneaky one, because most people don't think about the trees that are in our communities or the trees that cities pick to plant. And, you know, there is thought that goes into making sure you're putting the proper trees around different types of urban communities or trees that would give the most benefit maybe to your city. And it doesn't have to be big cities, like, you know, some of our suburban cities as well also need trees and benefit from this. We talked about this last year, but obviously we had the 1 year anniversary of the Memorial Day tornado outbreak. One of the big impacts was a huge loss to our tree canopy in the Dayton area. Well, and really in any area that was hit by those tornadoes, but specifically Dayton. Has there been any updates? Have you guys been working towards or working with the cities to try to replant some of that canopy? You know, what can you give us in terms of any updates on that? Because that was one of those, we saw a lot of the homes that were destroyed, obviously families displaced and people, of course, are first in our thoughts, but our trees are important as well. And that was, you know, trees that were decades old that are in one night gone. So what update can you give us?
Yeah, and that's a great point. You're obviously thinking about, you know, human life and mm-hmm. having shelter and all that. But once all that's all cleaned up, then you start looking at, wow, we lost all these trees. What are we going to do? And a lot of that stuff was put into motion, you know, earlier in the year, late last year and earlier into this year. And then, you know, had a lot of spring planting set up with a lot of different partners. And then COVID hit and it was like, well, I guess we got to put this on hold, because getting together a lot of volunteers to do that, especially when it first hit, it was definitely not something anyone was going to so a lot of it got postponed to this fall, and there's a few I think going on this fall, but most of them are really looking at next spring and next fall to get into planting. Our Southwest regional urban forester Wendy Van Buren's working with Five River Metro Parks, Arbor Day Foundation, several townships and local municipalities. You mentioned there's a lot of smaller towns and cities and suburbs around our big cities. And we work a lot with those communities. Our bigger cities typically have staff. They have a professional forester on staff, and they know what they're doing. They have planning and all the resources they need. They still obviously come to our programs and our conferences, things like that. But our assistance a lot heavily deals with the smaller communities that just don't have the professional staff on hand and need our advice and our assistance to get their program up and running. You also mentioned, you know, the decision of what tree to plant. Those are big decisions. And sometimes people don't think about that. Those are 50 to 100 year decisions.
Right.
You plant that tree in the ground. You just said we lost a 50 year old tree. If the right species was planted and it was properly cared for at a young age into early adulthood there, that tree can provide so many great benefits and have limited interference with infrastructure, limited, you know, getting the qualities of that tree to match the site. Having that match up right is very important. So making that 50 to 100 year decision right at the start, making that correct decision is the way to go. But as far as the recovery efforts, we're definitely working with Mid-Ohio Regional Valley,
It's always hard to think of those.
The Planning Commission.
Okay.
We've been working with them and just the local partners there to get planting programs in place and make those right decisions and get the trees into the hands of folks that need them.
Yeah. And you know what? You're not alone when it comes to volunteers for replanting trees, because McCall and I actually did a podcast, I think it was a couple episodes ago, but for the rebuilding of homes with Habitat and different, rebuilding organization that was specifically in Montgomery County, you know, they had volunteers set up and a lot of the volunteers were going to help build homes, and they had to kind of put that back and be very careful with who was working and how big groups were. So it's, you know, it was also just rebuilding people's houses as well that, you know, took a hit this winter and this spring because of what was going on with COVID, especially in the beginning as people were just trying to figure out what to do. So, yeah, I'm not surprised there. At least with the trees, it's good that, you know, if you put it back, I don't want to say it's not immediate, but, you know, it's okay if we can like, just, we can hold off a little bit longer.
A couple seasons is not going to make
Right. So that's good though, that they are still at least in the books, because I will be happy to see, you know, more of our trees coming back into the environment. So for the trees that are already still standing, a lot of people want to know, and we've kind of talked about it because you, ODNR, you have a forester, especially one for Southwest Ohio. She's great. And she kind of released what she was thinking for this season. And we agree. I mean, as meteorologists, we of course can pay attention to what's going on with our rainfall totals overall for a year. If we were in a drought in the summer, if we're abnormally cold, because that does play a part in our fall color. Let's go back to the basics. We talk about it every year, but I think every year it's one of those things where we review tornado warnings and we review why leaves change colors. So, you know, no matter the weather, this is something that happens every single season, no matter what. Let's start off with, why do the leaves change colors?
Yeah, like you said, this happens every season, no matter what. It's going to happen. It's just the, as the daylight decreases, we move into the winter, and the tilt of the earth gives us more more night hours as opposed to daylight hours. Mm-hmm. That triggers a chemical reaction in the leaves to prepare for winter. They can't hold those leaves full of water over winter. They'll freeze and rupture, and they won't be able to capture the resources that they pulled out of the soil and put into their leaves to build those leaves. They're efficient recyclers. They know that, they are taking those nitrogen and phosphorus, those nutrients in their leaves, and they're pulling them back into their branches and the twigs and branches to store for next year to push out new leaves in the spring. So in that process of pulling out those nutrients, chlorophyll is breaking down as well. And that's the green pigment we see all summer, the vibrant green. Underneath that chlorophyll, there are other pigments, the yellows and orange, which are carotenoids. And those pigments are there all year anyway, but the green, there's just so much chlorophyll, it covers up those. So as that chlorophyll breaks down, you start seeing those oranges and yellows show up. The reds and the purples, those really vibrant colors, those are actually brought on by the fall with the shorter daylights and the amount of sugar in the leaves. So if we have any severe drought over the summer, we have a decent amount of rainfall in September and October, they have enough sugar still in their leaves. And as those, the abscission layer, the layer between the leaf and the twig is starting to close off, those sugars are getting trapped in the leaves and it's producing anthocyanins, which is the reds and the purples. So those pigments really come out when we have years like this, where it's just been a decent summer that hasn't been really severe drought or anything like that. So we should see our typical fall color. The yellows and oranges will always be there. Having those bright reds and purples, it's prime for a year like that, definitely. We've had a little bit of dry spell here in September.
September was very dry, but...
I heard you mention earlier this morning about Hurricane Delta coming up, mm-hmm. and us getting some of that rain into Saturday night and Sunday. That will help, you know, that'll replenish the soil moisture for the trees and allow them to produce those anthocyanins to get that bright red fall color.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely still have time, but that was very interesting because, you know, the green is always there and so is the yellow and the orange, but the sugars, that is a little more weather dependent on whether or not we can get those really, really beautiful fall colors. And of course, there's another thing too with the abscission layer. You know, once it does start developing, which of course, naturally it will start to develop because the days are getting shorter, But as it gets colder, if we have a lot of early frost, something like that, and then when we start to get windy, that's when we can, unfortunately, if we do get beautiful colors, we want them to stick around. So yes. We had a couple windy, this past Wednesday was very windy. We also had a stronger wind event last week. And a couple of my friends were like, oh, all the leaves are going to come down. I said, well, to be honest, it's actually a little early. So I think you're fine. That abscission layer probably hasn't fully, you know, they're not just hanging on by a twig at this point. It's early enough in fall that that wasn't a big problem. But now that we're starting to get into the middle and really the end of October, every time we have a stormy day or a really windy day, you're going to end up starting to see more of those leaves fall.
Yeah. And the ones that have fallen over the past week or so, those are some of them are the drought stress leaves, the leaves that the tree's just shedding off because they need to maintain their moisture. The trees in the urban environments, they're stressed because they're in compacted soils, or they don't have the soil moisture or the soil volume they need to reach their full potential. So they show signs of stress, which can show up as fall colors early. Mm-hmm. And then when you get a wind event, those leaves are getting blown off. But the rain this weekend will help tremendously. And I think that as long as, like you said, as long as we don't get any hard frosts that really make that abscission layer form, or heavy wind events that will knock off leaves, we should have a pretty, not only vibrant, but longer fall color. Yeah.
Right. No, I agree. I think it is. I mean, to be honest, with everything going on this year, I'm a little relieved that we can at least have a beautiful fall color season. Yes. I think people are pretty stressed, and being out in nature is definitely a nice stress reliever. So let's talk. I mean, obviously, Ohio, we're blessed, in the Miami Valley in particular. We have a lot of state parks, and that is where you're going to get the natural tree canopies, and you're going to get the color, and you're going to get the color that lasts, because you made a great point, and it's something even in my neighborhood. You know, the trees that are planted here, the soil is just not the same as it is in an actual forest. So we definitely have a ton of trees that have already started changing and that are already shedding their leaves. But for somebody who's like, well, I think the fall color season might be almost over, you know, what is it about our state parks, and what is it about locally where people can go and really still see? I mean, they've got a whole month pretty much where they can get out and enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of time. This weekend, I mean, if you want to head north, there's definitely a lot of our state parks and state forests up north that have already, you know, they're patchy to near peak. They're getting there. So heading north is a good weekend to do that. There's Finley State Park up there. There's Maumee State Forest. A lot of great places to go up along the lakeshore this weekend. When you're starting to get into those near peak. But like you said, we still have, you know, the week of the 19th, you'll start getting near peak, and then into the week of October 26th, it should be in Dayton area, pretty much peak fall color there. And getting out to the state parks there, there's Houston Woods State Park, Sycamore State Park, which we were at, I think, a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think it's 2 years ago.
Yeah. John Bryan, Caesar Creek, all great parks. And a lot of these parks have, you know, obviously they have the campgrounds, they have cabins. Some of them have lodges that you can go stay at and still maintain the social distancing, getting out on the hiking trails. You mentioned, you know, this has been a stressful year for a lot of people. Getting out into the forest where we all came from is just decreases your stress level so much. I talked about the mental, wellness that urban trees provide us in our urban environment. Getting out into the forest is that tenfold, you know, immersing yourself in the forest. They talk about forest bathing and things like that. It's something you can look up later, but it's something that it's very good for our mental health, especially in these trying times with all that's going on. It's definitely something to get out, go to our campgrounds, get up in a fire tower at like Mohican to see fall foliage with the bird's eye view. It's a great time to do that toward the end of October here. Five Rivers Metro Parks has a ton of parks to go see. Cincinnati Parks has Mount Airy Forest with that beautiful Everybody's Tree House. It's a great place to go to. Just a lot of things. If you check out ohio.org, the Ohio Find It Here website, they have a website page up there of 100 things to do in Ohio this fall. And I just, cool. I was scanning through them, and there's just a lot of great opportunities, a lot of things to do outside, you know, that all fit within the COVID-19 protocols. Mm-hmm. And it's just a perfect time of year. It's a great weather we're having. Right. A little bit of rain doesn't hurt, but you know, yeah, just getting out into these nice, beautiful, sunny days like today. Today's a beautiful day out.
Yeah, I actually mentioned that this morning, you know, because we've been getting into the upper 30s, and then we've had these really sunny days. And I said, that is great for color. That is great for producing good fall color. So yeah, I think we're lucking out this year in terms of being able to enjoy a really nice fall color season. You know, and it's due. We've actually, you know, we had, I think it was maybe 1 or 2 years ago, we had a pretty severe drought. And you know, that stresses out the trees, and that can change how quickly they want to shed their leaves. So, you know, it's kind of nice that we've been a little dry, but not for the year overall. We are actually pretty close to normal with rainfall, which is, you know, a benefit to us. Let's talk a little bit just for people now, as we are, let's say, you know, we're starting to wrap up fall, and at least in the neighborhoods, probably the next week or two, people will start to have to rake their leaves and such. Do you have any advice for homeowners in terms of how to care for the trees that are in their urban areas or in their urban communities when it comes to their shedding their leaves? Is there anything that they can do to kind of encourage the tree to stay healthier, or maybe signs they could look for if they think their tree might be sick?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mentioned earlier that, you know, part of that process of fall color is the trees taking nutrients out of the leaves and storing them in their twigs and branches. They don't capture all of it. They only get about 50% of those nutrients. The rest actually fall to the ground. They're the leaf litter on the ground. And in the forest setting, like you see behind me, that leaf litter layer builds up over time and decomposes over time and creates new soil, new oxygen-rich, nutrient-rich soil for tree roots to grow in. And it's, if you walk in the forest, you can feel it. It's spongy, it's thick. Whereas in maybe in your front yard, where you mow every weekend and you have turf grass growing, that's a completely different environment for that tree compared to the forest. So my recommendation typically is if you can mulch your leaves into the turf, that's the best way to do it. I know depending on the species of trees in your neighborhood, there might be way too many leaves to be able to mulch at all. But the more you can do that, return those nutrients to the soil for the trees, the better off they are. Or better yet is just having a large mulch ring around, not deep, but wide. So a large radius of a mulch ring, and to provide that environment that trees normally get in the forest, that thick layer of decomposing organic matter is what you're looking for. But not having it piled up against the tree. We always talk about that volcano mulching. We don't want to see that, because that's bad, having it up against the trunks of the trees. But having that nice 2-3 inch thick layer of mulch or leaf litter underneath the tree is very important to the tree's health, replenishing those nutrients in the soil. It's just the best thing. As far as looking for signs of, we talked about signs of stress in trees, maybe the fall color or dropping leaves. Those are signs of water stress or compacted soils. Hiring a certified arborist, ISA certified arborist, is the way to go. They can come out to your house, diagnose the issues with your tree, and suggest alternatives or things to do to help improve the health. Simply mulching is a great way, and watering your tree when we don't have a lot of rain. Those are two things that are really the simplest things that any homeowner can do, and it costs you nothing really, besides your water bill a little bit. But if you get into the more diseases and other issues with structural issues and things like that, hiring a certified arborist is the way to go, and having them come out and assess the tree.
All right, that's great. Well, I mean, I think we kind of covered it. Is there anything interesting or different maybe this fall? Well, you know what actually was interesting that I learned this fall that I never knew was how many species of trees we have. Do you want to touch on? I had no idea. I think that the forester, I'm blanking on her name right now.
Jamie Regula.
Jamie. Yeah. So Jamie, I'm pretty sure, had posted that. I think it's 125,
yeah. So it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I've been here for years and years. I never knew that.
Yeah. I mean, when you start thinking about, I mean, you think about the oaks and the maples and the normal ones we think of, but even within the oaks, there are, you know, several different species of oaks out there, with the blacks and the reds and the whites. And it's just, it's it's a very diverse native forest we have in Ohio. We are, like you said, we are very lucky to have that and to have all those vibrant colors that come out in the fall, the trees that those sugary trees, those maples the ones that get those vibrant reds out there. That's very helpful compared to, you go out west and maybe in like Colorado, where you just have a whole hillside of aspen and it's all just right. Yellow. Same. We have that nice, vibrant change. Or what I always say, I always love to see is the evergreens as a backdrop to the bright fall colors. And, just having all that different species diversity is so important for us here in Ohio.
Yeah, well, we are definitely lucky. And it does sound like talking to you and just looking at how our weather is going to be for the most part this month, that we will likely luck out and get to enjoy a good fall color season. It is October 8th, as I mentioned already, and most of our state parks are changing, and that will just keep getting better. So, of course, myself and the rest of our Storm Center 7 team, we will keep you updated on the forecast itself when it comes to any wind events that you may need to know about and a chance for heavy rainfall if we see that in the coming weeks. But hopefully you can get outside and enjoy the fall color, enjoy the state parks that we have and a lot of some of those activities you can do and stay socially distant and stay within the COVID guidelines, obviously. So we're lucky and thankful to have you, Tyler, out on our podcast for today. It was great to learn more. It always is fun to talk about fall color because, like I said before, it's a fun season to be in Ohio during this time of year. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kirsty. It's always a pleasure on your podcast and I'm happy to do it every year. So thank you.
Wonderful. Well, if you want to watch or listen to any more of our episodes, you can go to WHIO.com. We have our vodcast on our free WHIO streaming app for any smart TV, and of course, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher to listen to all of our past episodes. Hopefully you can do that. And don't forget to rate and review. And Chief Meteorologist McCall Rydegg, she'll be back next episode with us as we continue to talk more about weather and science. So thank you so much for joining us.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.